Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice. We will rejoice. We must rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed that the Lord has wakened us for another day. Thank you, Father God, for this day that you have made. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, thanking you for your grace, thanking you for your mercy, thanking you, Lord God, for all things good and perfect come from you. Lord God, I ask you to continue watching over us, Lord God, as you watched over us as we slumber. Lord God, I ask that this word that is coming forth, excuse me, be acceptable in your holy sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And I ask you again to increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Thanking God for everything that he does, always, because he is wonderful and he is our God. And I can do nothing more than say thank you. Thank you, thank you, and thank you again, Father God, for just being who you are, wonderful, marvelous, a mighty God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. So let's get in this word this morning. And as always, can y'all say it with me? It is a what? Good word today. It is a good word today. And we are coming out of the book of Numbers. And we'll be coming out of Numbers chapter 5 and chapter 6. And we're doing it a little different this morning. We are going to have a New Testament word. Actually, we are coming out of the New Testament today, and then we will be coming out of Old Testament on Sunday. We're flipping it up a little bit today. Why? Because God told me to. we are starting in chapter 8, verses 22. Through 38 this morning. So please bear with your host today as we get our word together. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Again, Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 38, which is where our title is coming from this morning. And then we will be in the Old Testament on Sunday. So again, New Testament today, Old Testament on Sunday. And as we get into it, it says this. Then he came to Bethesda, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he was on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town. Now Jesus and his disciples went out of the town to Caesarea Philippi. And on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't play. And when I say, you know, we got to make sure you have People always say, get behind me, Satan. Get it in context. Get it in context. And in context, Peter had a spirit of Satan, not Satan. Satan was trying to use Peter to keep Jesus from doing what his assignment was, which was to take our sins to the cross. And he didn't want that, so he said what he said. But Jesus had to rebuke that spirit that was trying to come into Peter. He wasn't trying to rebuke Peter as much as he was rebuking Satan. But understand, it's a spirit that will come over. Somebody say something, you're like, get behind me, Satan. You ain't going to talk that mess in front of me or behind me or anywhere else. You know, we got to start nipping in the bud that tongue. What I say, that little wildfire that can start with just one word, and it can create all kind of confusion in our lives. So we got to nip that in the bud, and that is the spirit of Satan. So when you say that, you got to mean what you say. Again, Jesus is speaking to Peter because Peter is trying to tell him and go rebuke him for doing what he's called here to do. So if somebody try to tell you what you called to do, you don't need to do it this way. You need to do it that way or the other. That's when you have to use that spirit of rebuke. Because we are all accountable. The world is not worth your soul. And we got to remember that. We can't be of this world. We are not of this world. And as Jesus is continuing saying, he said, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. There are going to come a time where we may have to say, when someone says, are you a Christian? Are you going to say, no, I don't believe in that Jesus stuff, you know, because you're trying to save your life. But better to die saved with Jesus than to live unsaved and of the world. Because who is of the world is not of grace and is not of God. So we got to look at what the word is telling us. He said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The world is not worth your soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation of him, the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I don't want the Savior to be ashamed of me. We don't want our God to be ashamed of us. We got to do what we're supposed to do. And our life lesson from Mark chapter 8, verse 36. And this is a life question. And, you know, because you have the tithing situation. You have first, well, I give, but, you know, let's read what it says here. Since from the human perspective, the Bible is a book of paradoxes. It says, for example, that if we really want to have life, we must first lose it. Matthew 10:39. If we want to understand authority, we must first become a servant. Matthew 20:26-27, we just read these. If we want to get ahead in life, we must first humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5:6. And giving to God is the first step toward financial freedom. Wow, you say, how can I give God anything when I can't even pay my bill? Doesn't God expect me to take care of my debt first? At first glance, such a response sounds reasonable. The problem is, it's not God's response. He insists that if we don't give, then we are robbing him, and we will end up in worse financial shape than ever. And I can tell you, that is the truth. Been there, done that. But I'm grateful that I have been able to pay my tithes on time. And to pay my tithes, God knows that when you're struggling, you're like, okay, can I give this much, but I got to pay this bill. You know, God will make a way. I'm telling you, God will make a way where you have extra when you do what you're supposed to do. So the question is, are you going to do what you're supposed to do and have extra? Or are you going to rob God and wonder why you can't, your bills ain't being paid right? So we got to make sure we get our life in order, and that starts with giving God what to do, God. We should always keep in mind that God gives us his tenth, this tenth in the first place. It never is ours. All things come from you, and of your own we have given you. 1 Chronicles 29:14. The tithe is our way to renew God's blessings in our lives. It is always for our increase. God's promises have been tried and proven. This includes the promises regarding tithing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The Lord tells us, and then he adds, try me now in this. God invites us to try him, to prove his wisdom, to test his truth. What a bold challenge. Will you take it up? If we do, he promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings for you until it overflows. Malachi 3:10. The challenge involves a tithe, a tenth of your income. That might frighten you, but remember, since God owns it all, he is asking only for a penny back out of every dime. He doesn't need the money. He simply wants us to discover the reward of obedience. The world is not worth your soul. That purse is not worth your soul. Those shoes are not worth your soul. Come on now. There is nothing worth your soul. Pay your tithe. Everything else falls into place. Giving to God's supernatural means of pumping the pump of divine supply. We initiate it by faith, not reason. Can I have it again? By faith. You pay your tithe by faith that God will give you what you need to pay your bills. Come on now. You pay your tithe by faith that God will give you enough to pay your bills. Just saying. Prove me differently. I can tell you it works. God will do what God says he will do. Giving is God's supernatural means of pumping the pump of divine supply. We initiate it by faith, not reason. Giving to God is the prerequisite for enjoying true financial freedom. If you feel afraid to give a tenth of your income, then at least start somewhere. When you start to give and realize the wisdom of God's economic plan, it won't be long until you will be given a tenth of your income or even more. And I thank God for being able to give even more. God is a good God, and everything I have, I know without any doubt, comes from the Lord. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. And again, the world is not worth your soul. And as we continue, we're in Mark chapter 9 this morning. We kind of flipped it today where we are doing the New Testament today and the Old Testament on Sunday. And as we continue, it says this, and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shiny, exceedingly white. Now, like snow, such as no launderer on earth could whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, is it good for us to be here? And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah come first?" Then he answered and told them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And now, and how is written concerning the Son of Man, he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt. But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeting him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered them and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Woo, Jesus. I got to say that again. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to the deaf and dumb spirit, "I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that the many said, "Is he dead?" But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Hallelujah. You got to pray and you got to fast. Got to turn that plate over. Got to turn away from some things that you're doing, you know, are causing you detriment. We got to fast and we got to pray. And as we go back into some life lessons from Mark chapter 9, it says this in Mark 9 and 4. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. How did Peter and the others instantly recognize Moses and Elijah, men they never met, who had died centuries before? In the Transfiguration, we get a brief foretaste of heaven and its wonders. Oof. You just want to shout when you read that. You just want to shout because they knew in the spirit. The spirits knew who Elijah and Moses was. That's how I feel they knew who they were. It's because it's a spiritual thing. Their spirit knew who these men were. And again, remember, Moses, there is nobody. Nobody has found it in all these, and they're not going to. They're not going to find the body of Moses. And when they do, and if they do, it will be God leading, because God has hid it, and he has hid it well, that no man should try to take credit for the body of Moses. Come on now. Mark 9 and 10, they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. These are sometimes did speak figuratively, John 2:19-21. So perhaps we can sympathize with the failure to grasp the Lord's meaning, Mark 9:32. The words of God are not always easy to understand. We go through, and I love this word, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, Mark 9:24. The Lord does not demand that we have mountains of faith before he acts on our behalf. A little mustard seed of genuine faith is all he requires. Then he steps in and supplies what we lack. Let the church say amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. We got to make a joyful noise unto the Lord today. Hallelujah. Just say it with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty word. We don't want the world to take our soul. The world is not worth your soul. Say it with me. The world is not worth my soul. I am going to stand on my faith. I'm standing with Jesus. I'm with him. We got to have that I'm with him in our spirit. I'm with him. The world is not worth your soul. And let's keep going. And I got a life example from Dr. Stanley. And this is what he says. No in between. He wanted to believe. Really, he did. After seeing his son suffer terribly, all this desperate father wanted was for his boy to be healed. Yet so many other things that failed, even Jesus' own disciples could not rid his son of the demon that tormented him so cruelly. Could Jesus really heal the boy, or would he be disappointed again? The father pleaded with Jesus, voicing the only hope he had left. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Oh, Lord, thank you. We got to have that prayer in our heart. Lord, help us. We need some help. I know I need the help that can only come from the Lord. Because when you got a mountain, you ask God, Lord, help me to bulldoze this mountain down. Because God can do all things but fail. And it goes on to tell us, have you been there? You see no problem way, no possible way out of your situation. You've tried everything, but it was all in vain. The issue continues to eat away at you. Ooh, been there, done that. And you know that if you don't get help soon, it will destroy you. Your only hope is that Jesus will help you. However, after so many things have failed, you have only a half-hearted faith that Jesus can really do anything for you. Like the father of Mark 9, you are trapped between belief and unbelief. Though you believe in Jesus for your salvation, and you know that the miracles he did in the New Testament are real, it's a different story trusting him to deal with your problem. Come on now. Dr. Stanley is like, hey, tell the truth and shame that devil. Because you know that we all have been in this place. You know, before salvation, you kind of believed it in Jesus and you kind of knew that they could do stuff. But, you know, you still believe in self. We got to believe 100% in the Lord that everything will work out for our good according to his purpose. Not ours, but God's purpose. First, you may be questioning whether he will help you because you doubt you are worth helping. Been there, done that. Felt like I wasn't worthy of the blessings that God was giving me. This is especially true when your situation is due to your own mistakes. Come on now. From your mistakes is going to come a message. And it says, however, understand that Christ's love for you is unconditional. He wants to help you. Yet he also calls you to repent of your sins and obey him. Forgive me, Father, for anything that I have done against your divine majesty and word or deed. We got to repent. We got to say, forgive us, Father God. Forgive us, Daddy God. Forgive us for what we have done. Got to make it personal. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for not believing. Forgive me for not trusting you 100%. Forgive me for not standing up and saying that I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, because I believe. Lord, give me that mustard seed faith to bulldoze these mountains in life. Father God, I know you won't bring me to what you can't bring me through. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up and ask you to give me patience, give me understanding, give me all the things that you need me to do to equip me to do the work that you have called me to do. We've got to make it personal. Lord, I lift my hands to you, asking you, Lord, to take control of my life, of everything, every part of me, my mind, my heart, my soul, my environment. Lord God, I give it all to you and ask you, God, to lead me and guide me in the way I should go. In Jesus' name, amen. We got to start looking up and lifting up and giving God the glory. And it goes on to tell us, Dr. Stanley says, and he tells me, he says, most assuredly the God who created the universe can deal with any situation that arises in it. Jesus assures you, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes, Mark 9:23. God can do it. Can you believe? Can y'all say with me, God, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I know you can change my situation. I know that everything will work for my good because I trust in you. Hallelujah. We got to have a trust in God moment. And we got to understand that the world, this wicked world, is not worth your soul. And as we continue, friend, you may have to pray like that Father did. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Mark 9:24. However, as he teaches you, be deliberate about relinquishing your doubts. Your willingness to trust him is key. Therefore, have faith that he will do the impossible in your situation and truly believe. Can y'all say amen with me this morning? Just say amen with me this morning. God is so good. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This word is so rich. Now, I understand why the Lord said you got to have faith. When I say do new, and I'm doing new, you know, because we get stagnant. We get caught up in, well, this is Old Testament Friday, and we'll have New Testament Sunday. God said, uh-uh. Today you're going to have the New Testament, and you can do the Old Testament on Sunday. Because God had a word that I needed today. I hope you needed this word just like I did. You know, going through some situations. And I need to know that God is in charge. Hallelujah. And the Lord is saying, I got this. I got this. Whatever your this is, God's got it. All you got to do is have faith and believe that he is going to move some mountains for you. He's going to move some mountains for me today. I'm believing God for move mountains in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Move those mountains, Lord. And as we continue in this word, in Mark 9:30-50, says, then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it, but he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. When he is killed, he will rise on the third day. Woo, hallelujah. But they did not understand this thing and was afraid to ask him. And you know, we all get in those situations where we learn something or we hear something, and we know we don't have a clue what they're talking about, but you embarrassed to say, can you explain that? Because you don't want to appear like you stupid. You don't want to appear like you don't know what they're talking. You know, you got the heavenly minded. You know, no earthly good they so up in the heavens that they don't break down what they're trying to say. So all you hear is all this stuff, and it's almost like Babel to us because it's so theologian that it makes no common sense. So we got to make sure that when we're speaking and teaching the word of God, that we make it common sense, that we let it be known and make it understandable. That's why I love this daily principle Bible from Dr. Stanley, because he knows how to break it down and make it understandable for everybody. So thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this word. Thank you, God, for your holy Bible. Thank you, God, for these basic instructions, because these basic instructions before leaving earth are helping us, Lord God, that when Jesus comes, we are ready to go into the narrow gate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it says in verse 33 of Mark chapter 9, then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all the servants of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. And I just want to do a shout out this morning to all the foster parents out there, to all the grandparents raising grandchildren, to all the TTs and uncles raising nieces and nephews, to all the folks out there raising children that they did not birth, but love as if they did. I shout out to you because the Lord told us, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. You are special. And God is letting you know today, you are special. God loves you. I am blessed that I had a TT and an uncle that took me in when my mom was having some harder times. But I'm grateful that God has given me a mother who I can travel with, who I can hang out with, who is my friend. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful for my TT. I'm thankful for my uncle. I'm thankful for my Lil and my Henry, who raised me, who poured into me, who taught me the word. As they said, whoever receives of one of these little children in my name, and they poured the Lord in me. They were there for my mother. They were there for me. They were there for my siblings. They were there and raised me as their own. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. I pray that they have great house, a great house in the kingdom of God, because they were great mother and father. They were great godparents. They were great. And I thank God for them. And I'm telling all those grandmamas and TTs and granddaddies that are raising their grandchildren, in some instances, great-grandchildren, I say to you, don't give up. Don't lose the fight, because God is with you, because you are pouring into those children, him. You keep pouring God into them, and God will change the atmosphere. All I can say is, look at where I am today is because of my godparents, is because of my mother, is because of those that took me in. As Jesus said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name, I thank God for my grandchildren. I'm getting filled up because I know what it is for all of us today. He said, ooh, whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord. And don't get tired of well-doing for those children, because you are special. God gave them to you for a reason and a purpose, just like he gave me my grandchildren for a reason and a purpose, and my extended family. All I can say is thank you, God, for my sons. Oh, Jesus, thank you. It's someone special who adopts. It's someone special who fosters. It's someone special who raises children that they didn't birth. Hallelujah. Keep God first. Keep pouring in, because your reward will be with the Father. Because it is not about us. It is about the one who is in charge of everything, and that is our Father. In lesson 9, it says, now John answered him, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. But he who is not against us is on our side. Can y'all say that again? But he who is not against us is on our side. And we're talking folks of faith. Hallelujah. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, and surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You got to cut some folks off. If folks is causing you to sin, if folks is causing you to stumble, if folks is causing you to not work the faith, not work for the Lord, if folks are causing you, instead of going to church, you going shopping. Instead of going to church, you going over to the club. Instead of going to the church, you going to the French fry. Instead of going to church, you sleeping in because you was out all night with your friends. Come on now. If someone is causing you to go back to using narcotics or drinking alcohol or in prostitution or adulterous relationships, whoever is causing you to sin and to stumble, you need to cut them off. Because they, what does it say? Ooh, let's go back. But whoever causes one of these little ones, causing children, because your kids see what you do, causing you as a child of God, because you are one of the little children too, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and if he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, what do? We cut it off. You got to cut off some people. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that will never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell. 5. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. But everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. Woo! Can I say this word was rich this morning? God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him, for the word of God is rich this morning. Woo, Jesus, thank you. And it goes on to let us know in this life question from Dr. Stanley. Life answers the life question, who's first? Who's on first? Remember that comedian joke? Who's on first? No, who's on second? Well, what is on third? So who's on first? No, who's on second? And what is on that? You know, but this is what God says. Who first? Do you serve for the good of others? Some questions we got to ask ourselves. Do you serve for the good of others? Or do you serve for yourself? Are you doing what you do because God assigned you the task? Or are you doing it because it makes you look good? Ooh, right is tight. So if your shoe is getting tight, ooh, we got to look at ourselves. And this is the reference. This may seem a strange line of questions, but it's a subject that confronts every Christian at one point or another. Even the disciples struggled with their desires to be the greatest in the kingdom. Yet Jesus was always quick to remind them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all the servants of all. And the servant of all. Don't always try to rush to the front. Sometimes you need to sit in the back and let God move you to the front. Hallelujah. We got to understand that the Lord is saying the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in trying to, I, and you forget that there's no I in team. When you are a team, you work together for the good of all. We got to, as people of God, together for the good of all. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. We got to understand that we got to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Christ. Isn't that what the song says? Everything I am, everything I be, I lay it all at your feet. We got to lay our situations at the feet of God. But we can't try to always rush because we want to be seen. Sometimes it's better to be in the background. You know, I like to sing background. You know, sometimes you get pushed to sing that solo. But the background is sometimes the best music of all. You know, we got to be able to sing background, though you may be a soloist. And I used to have to talk to kids because kids get resentful. Well, they always sing the solo. They might be the better singer, and that's why they sing the solo. You keep doing what you're supposed to do, and you may be moved up to sing the solo. But, you know, kids and even adults, you got adults singing in choirs that get resentful because sister such and such, she always got to lead. Why she always got to lead? Other people in this choir can sing. First shall be last, last shall be first. Wait your turn. Wait your time. Because God will make room for your gift. He will open doors. And you will speak before that whatever it is that you are assigned to do, that you can do it. And this is the rest of this word. He says it. Unfortunately, we sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that we can measure the success of what we're doing the same way the world measures achievement. We mistakenly believe that if God receives glory from our service, then it should be glorious for us as well. Yet, when we remember some of God's faithful servants from the Bible, we realize their situations were far from easy or glamorous. Can y'all say that? Far from easy or glamorous. When you serve God, you're going to have some hardship. You're going to have some rough times. And they say, I'm on the rough side of the mountain. You're going to have some rough side. But you understand that God will not bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it. And this is what it says in this word from Dr. Stanley. God allowed Job to suffer the loss of his children, his health, and everything he owned. Everything. Job lost it all. Kids, houses, everything. He even had a wife tell him, just curse God and die. Because she was hurting. And everybody wants to vilify the wife. But you need to stop and take this moment to understand. This woman also had lost her children. This had lost her home. This woman had lost everything she had. Prestige, I mean, it's probably what she was liking, that prestige of being Job's wife. But he was a good man. But things go on and you're like, wait a minute, going through. Like anybody else, but you are man of God. Why are we going through? You should just curse God now. He said, what were you saying? And we got to understand that she was hurting too. So even though she sounded like a foolish mess, we got to remember that this woman had lost her children. Everything that Job lost, except for his health, she lost too. And when he lost his health, she lost the provider for our family. So we got to understand that everything has a reason and a purpose. But God, through this woman, showed us Job's faith. And as we continue, says God told Isaiah to be barefoot and naked for 3 years as judgment against Egypt and Ethiopia. And you know, you're like, excuse me, that man over there is naked as a jaybird. What's wrong with that? You know you don't want cray cray. And you know that's what people would be saying. He don't want cray cray. And the police be trying to put him in jail. But he's naked and barefoot. 3 years, y'all. This man didn't have no clothes on. To show the judgment against Egypt and Ethiopia. And listen, we continue, says, God, Ezekiel, fly on fight a day for every year of Ezekiel's family. He was also to prepare food using cow dung as fuel. You're like, ew. And you know anybody who lays on one side for an extended period of time, you start to bruise. It's your sore. That's why they say you got to turn. If you work in a nursing home, you have to turn your seniors every so many ways, or your disabled person. You got to turn them so that they don't blood vessels start to pool in certain areas. You got to move them around a little bit. On your side, you have to prepare your food with cow manure. And y'all know that stuff stinks, but it does make good fire. I have to admit that. And as it continues, it says, God instructed Hosea to marry a prostitute. Well, he had to buy her back. Just like the life. She was living a life and liked it. And God had to marry her. He's like, wait a minute. She's not in the church. She's not a church girl. Why are you marrying that prostitute? Ooh. And you know folks is talking about it. Well, girl, you know, Gomer, please, I don't make no better, you know. And they add words. That's not. But we got to understand what God sends you to do. You've got to check what I do. Died on the cross. Much making for us. Took all our awful wickedness to the cross. Why? And that was his assignment. Are you doing your assignment today? And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Of course, most often God will call us to do those burning things to seem unimportant, that don't affect in any way. As Jesus said in Mark 9:41, whoever gives you a cup of water and money because you belong to it, as surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. These are people that we display the character the reason that you serve God is not for the sake of your name, reputation, or even your income. The reason you serve God is to be obedient to God, to show his love to a loved girl. So, to do something in his name, check your motives. Are you for your Are you putting yourself first? Are you putting yourself first? Yeah. What about blood? Will the dead declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy. Be my helper. Turn for me my morning into. Yep. Oh, Lord, my God. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Psalm 31, starting at verse 1. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Can y'all say that with me? To the Father, you are my strength, and I add God. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Can y'all say hallelujah with me? What a mighty word of God today. Verses 6 through 10 of Psalm 31. And it says this, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversity and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my in a wide place. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. And I say today, is the world worth your soul? And I answer, we say together, no, 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 no. Hallelujah. Thank you all for listening this morning. If there is someone that has a word from the Lord, now is the time to push that one on your phone. For this word has been rich. Whew, I am just filled up. I'm ready to run, y'all. Just get out of my way and watch me dance. Because God is so good. And I just have to give a few things this morning before we get out of here. A word first from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And this just fits right into our word. Good morning. Faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. Have a faith-filled, fighting family. And I just wanted to share my daily scripture for this morning is the scripture that I stand upon. It is the scripture that started the women's ministry that I'm the director of. It's the scripture that got me through my husband's death. It's the scripture that got me through my recent car accident. It's the scripture that gets me through daily. And I just share it with you because God was just reminding me because I got to do some things today. That he is with me. Hallelujah. And I want to remind you today that he is with you too. And this is a word that I have for you all as I have for myself that God gave me. And I know that I know it is from God. Have not I commanded thee, and I'm going to ask Bridget Marie, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, Bridget Marie. Neither be thou dismayed, Bridget Marie. For the Lord thy God is with thee whatsoever thou goest, Bridget Marie. So understand, as I listen to all of you and look at all of you in my spiritual eye, just know that he is with you too, Teresa. He is with you too, Rita. He is with you too, Teresa. He is with you too, Jesse. He is with you too, Nalo, he is with you too, Carolyn. He is with you too, Leah. He is with you too, Kelly. He is with you too, A.T. He is with you too, Mark. He is with you too, Kaylin. He is with you too, Kaylin. He is with you too, all of you. He is with you too, Jose. The Lord God is with you, Mark, on your new job. The Lord is with you, Mom. The Lord is with you, Shantina, as you have fought like a girl and let the Lord fight for you and beat cancer back into the ground and pit from which it came. We got to start fighting and knowing that our Father God fights for us and with us, and that you don't have to worry about anything, because he told you, have I not commanded you, hallelujah, to be strong and courageous, and to tell you that he will be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this word. And so, family, as we depart from each other this morning, pray over you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a wonderful, blessed, faith-filled day. And know that the Lord our God is with you wherever you go. God has got you. You are special. You are wonderful. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Be blessed and stand on his word. For he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We believe and we trust and we know that our Father God has got us covered. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. Have a wonderful weekend. And please, if God's will, we'll be back together again on Sunday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, in the Book of Numbers and Proverbs. Have a great day. It's a wrap. I got to go to work. Be blessed.